sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Is he alive? This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? I am Sean Sears, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. It's opening day, Cubs fans, as the Chicago Cubs welcome the Milwaukee Brewers to Wrigley Field to kick off their 2020 season on July 24th. Really weird sentence, but it's factual, as we have a NL Central matchup to preview tonight here on this Friday night podcast, or Friday afternoon podcast, Friday night game. We'll also go over the weekend's matchup with the Brewers here for the Cubs just quickly in this first segment, and then in the second segment we'll hit on a couple news bolts, including Comcast agreeing to a deal with Marquee Network, as well as the Cubs kind of finalizing their 30-man roster, as well as adding on utility man Derek Dietrich from the Reds. So we'll talk about that and more in the second segment. But today's episode is brought to you in part by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Then we are also brought to you in partnership with cubsinsider.com. Head to Cubs Insider to read all about this marquee deal with Comcast that is now official, and how the Cubs avoided a pretty nasty PR storm had they not been able to secure the biggest cable provider in the Chicagoland Midwest area. So they did. I think everyone kind of assumed this would happen. I think everyone would assume it would be kind of a buzzer deal at the last second, but it's happened. Read all about it more at CubsInsider.com, official partner of Locked On Cubs. You can get Locked On Cubs on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn app, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to Locked On Cubs. And make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review. And then you make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. So it's the first game of the season. Cubs facing off with the Brewers. A pretty big matchup to start the year. Obviously, the Brewers, a team that took the division from the Cubs in 2018, finished higher than them in 2019. Honestly, they're just such a weird team, because on paper, they always look like a team that probably shouldn't be in the mix of things, but they always find their way into situations where they are pretty much right there in the middle, in the thick of everything. So it's hard to count them out, and hopefully the Cubs will take these teams seriously this year, especially in a 60-game sprint. You know, it's incredibly important to get out and start winning early and often. So the big key metric this year is going to be wins, which will be very strange, because obviously in a baseball season you look at a lot of statistics, but this year it's probably really not going to matter very much. So, but the Cubs are coming off their worst NL Central finish since 2014, and honestly have a lot to prove with a pretty talented team, but have continuously underperformed. So looking at these pitching matchups for game one, it's Kyle Hendricks versus Brandon Woodruff. Woodruff was one of the Brewers' all-stars last year, was probably their best pitcher throughout the season. He's got a 3.63 ERA. A talented guy, or 3.62, excuse me, ERA. Talented guy with a lot of swing and miss in his game, but can walk batters, whereas Kyle Hendricks, obviously, going to be working on keeping the ball on the ground. He's looked great so far in a few of his outings. Obviously, he had that one sort of rough outing. He took the loss against the White Sox in that scrimmage game, even that was really Jarrell Cotton that kind of got lit up in that game. But Hendricks has been working on a curveball recently, and it's looked really good in the few times we've been able to see Hendricks pitch on TV here this during summer camp. So I'm interested to see what Kyle Hendricks has to bring. I know he was working a lot on that curveball. He was I don't know if this was the Statcast radar gun being incorrect, but they monitored him. I think they caught us I know the first pitch of the game he threw was 91 miles an hour, but they registered a sinker at 93 miles an hour at one point for Kyle Hendricks, and that just seems wrong. But either way, increased velocity, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing for Hendricks. It at least shows he's in a good, I guess, groove right now if he's able to hit 90s. I don't know if it's real, though, or if it is just the radar guns were off at Wrigley. But we'll have to see. Woodruff and the rest of this rotation for the Brewers, though, it's a very interesting group. Corbin Burns gets a start on Saturday, and then it's Freddy Peralta, a different Freddy Peralta. They had another one not too long ago. But Corbin Burns, Freddy Peralta, 25 and 24 years old, guys with a ton of talent but haven't quite reached it. Burns got lit the heck up last year. He finished last year with an 8.82 ERA. Had a couple really good starts where he struck out, I think, like the first nine batters he saw, and I think maybe when his first or second starts of the year, and then from that point on just kind of tanked hard, gave up a lot of home runs. He's back in the rotation after kind of getting dumped from it and getting pushed into the bullpen. Peralta, similar situation, 5.29 ERA. Wasn't getting annihilated necessarily like Corbin was on long balls, but still not necessarily great numbers with the 5.29 ERA. But the Brewers are hoping for a lot of, I guess, positive regression for some of these younger guys and hoping they take steps up because rotation is relatively young right now. I don't know how Craig Counsell is going to approach some of these games because he has talked a little bit about not taking a traditional route and how he's going to handle his rotation and pitchers, which could mean he could lean on his bullpen early on. And that, you know, Counsell's one of the more innovative guys in baseball. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he were to seriously consider bringing a guy like Josh Hader in early on in, you know, a crucial moment, like if, you know, the top of the lineup's coming on with a runner on second and, you know, the Brewers hold a 1-0 lead or the Cubs are up two runs, something like that. I could see him being aggressive and bringing in a guy like Hader in the fifth or sixth inning, just because in 60 games, you could probably abuse your bullpen a little bit more. The other thing, too, like looking at this Brewers team, it's just hard to gauge, like, who is good on this team. Like Mike Moustakas, Yasmani Grandel are gone. You've got guys like Luis Urias, who's not on this team right now, dealing with, I believe he's one of the COVID candidates on the Brewers. Same, I think Brett Anderson's hurt as well, too. But you're looking at this team, and, you know, there's guys you recognize, like, you know, Keston Hiura is going to be at second base. Eric Sogard's on this team. Jed Yurko obviously spent a good amount of time with the Cardinals. Orlando Arcia is still the shortstop. And then you've got Braun probably DHing this year. Avisail Garcia, you know, the outfield staying the same with Garcia obviously adding this year. But Yelich, Kane, Garcia, it's a different look, but not necessarily super different. It's all dependent on Christian Yelich, though, and the rest of this lineup, you know, is going to be hitting around him. So he was on a weird stretch coming through summer camp, where I think he was like 2 for 23 or something like that with close to 13 strikeouts. He was so bad that the artificial crowd started booing him. I think people saw that tweet circulating last week of the artificial crowd booing him and him saying, "Are we at Wrigley?" But I wouldn't put too much stock into Christian Yelich continuing to go through a bad stretch. He's a former MVP and a really, really good player at 28 years old and probably has a chance to be the MVP again this year. So, you know, I wouldn't count on a bad streak from Christian Yelich to go through this weekend. But we'll see. In terms of the Cubs, though, Wilson Contreras has been on a crazy hot streak. Even just this last game against the Twins, he crushed two home runs. He had a single against him. He's looked really good. He looks locked in right now. And it feels like Contreras has been talking throughout this summer camp and whatnot. He feels good. He feels like he is locked in. He feels like he's ready for baseball. And that's, at least confidence-wise, that's there. So in terms of lineup for the Cubs, we don't know quite yet. We're assuming it'll probably be Ian Happ in center field, and I would assume with a guy like Brandon Woodruff on the mound, I could see Jason Kipnis getting the start at second base. DH, you know, Victor Carantini could make sense. I don't know if you necessarily want to throw Steven Souza or, you know, I guess Albert Almora into the lineup in the outfield to compensate for Schwarber at the DH. So Victor Carantini could make sense. I guess you could go Kipnis at DH and Horner at second if you want to play defensively. Maybe that's a little stronger. But there's options here, so we'll have to see. But if I had to guess, Victor Carantini seems like the great fit right now, especially because Josh Fegley's on this team. So, but speaking of on this team, let's go through this 30-man roster quickly. For the Cubs here, they've got 16 pitchers plus one on the IL, which is Jose Quintana. But Yu Darvish, obviously, making this rotation along with Kyle Hendricks, Alec Mills, Tyler Chatwood, and John Lester. Which means the bullpen right now is Jeremy Jeffress, Dylan Maples, Brad Wick, Dan Winkler, Craig Kimbrell, Rex Brothers, Rowan Wick, Dwayne Underwood, Kyle Ryan, James Norwood, Casey Sadler. The big missing name there, probably Ryan Tapira. And according to what Tony and Jackie wrote for Marquee, actually getting a quote from Jed Hoyer and David Ross, or excuse me, Theo Epstein, just saying how they think Tapira is going to pitch important innings for the Cubs this year, especially because he's got 216 big league appearances underneath him, and he looked pretty dominant against the White Sox on, I think it was Monday night, he had two strikeouts. He's 32 years old. He just wasn't, they just didn't feel like he was quite where he needed to be to start the season, but he's going to be a part of this bullpen more than likely at some point, so he'll be going down to South Bend and gives a guy like Dylan Maples or James Norwood a chance to do something. Hopefully it's positive. In terms of infielders, it's Nico Horner, Javier Baez, David Bodie, Chris Bryant, Jason Kipnis, Anthony Rizzo, with Daniel Descalcio starting the season on the 45-day IL, which, why? Who knows? Outfielders, it's Albert Almora, Ian Happ, Kyle Schwarber, Steven Souza, Jason Hayward, and then Josh Fegley, Victor Carantini, and Wilson Contreras rounding out those catchers. So with Josh Fegley on this roster, you could play Victor Carantini at DH more, utilize his bat, or, you know, give Wilson Contreras days off. Nice little flex, especially with Rizzo's back being so such an issue throughout summer camp. Having Fegley and Carantini, who could probably back up at first, let Rizzo if he needs to DH, that's a nice option. So obviously every team in the NL is going to benefit greatly from the advantage of having the DH and the flexibility it provides, but we'll have to see. In terms of what to watch for in this game, obviously Contreras, really hot. Let's hope he continues to carry that through. Kyle Hendricks and his curveball, that's something I want to watch and see how he starts to mix in more along with his, you know, sinker, two-seamer, cutter, the changeup, of course. So I think it'll only be exciting to see him really break off a nasty curveball because he has one and he just doesn't throw it very often. It was a very good change of pace pitch, but he's worked on it enough to where he feels comfortable that he can start throwing that more consistently. So that's what I want to watch for. And then there's supposedly supposed to be a moment of silence at the beginning of this game for solidarity towards the Black Lives Matter movement, which I'm very pro for. So it'd be nice to see that as well.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and why wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brands his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers and access to AutoRock.com at home in your pocket. AutoRock.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to AutoRock.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake pads to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in an easy few clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for the professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to AutoRock.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so you know who sent you. It's us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
All right, here in the second segment, Marquee Network officially on Comcast, just in time for opening day, quite literally just in time for opening day. But I feel like this was going to be a buzzer beater deal no matter what. It just didn't feel like Marquee or Comcast really was motivated to get this deal done anytime sooner than it needed to be done. Just because, to be honest, Marquee needed Comcast a lot more than Comcast needs Marquee. So that's that. But in other news, the Cubs signed Derek Dietrich after the Reds released him a couple days ago, the utility man coming to the Cubs. It's a good fit. He's an interesting guy, as Ryan Davis pointed out on Twitter. He's a guy that hit 19 home runs, but slashed 187, 328, and 462 with a 100 OPS plus. And then he also adds to this, just to be annoying, if you want to think of it this way, it's like the Cubs traded Castellanos and Stroop for Dietrich. Which, no, you're awful. Go away, Ryan. Booze forever. But it's Ryan Davis, of course, my co-host for the show. But Dietrich, I'm not upset about. He had a period of time last year with the Reds where he was starting consistently at second because of Scooter Gennett being hurt. I don't remember who their second baseman was at the time. But either way, Derek Dietrich got a chance because of someone being injured and allowed, he went through a stretch where I think he had like 8 or 9 consecutive games of like hitting home runs or hitting extra base hits, something like that. I remember SportsCenter being all over that, but it was like essentially him and Eugenio Suarez powering the Reds offense for a short period of time. As a utility guy, he can kind of play all over. He's played corner outfield spots. He plays first base. He plays mainly second base. He's probably not going to play a premium position in like shortstop or third base anytime soon. But in terms of versatility and a guy that has somewhat of a veteran leadership kind of quality, I guess you could say, even though he's only, I think he's 31. Yeah, it's a good piece. I mean, it's not like Dietrich's like any better or worse than Hernan Perez. So you might as well add him onto the roster and see what you can do. So Ross has been showing he's more vocal, showing his confidence vocally with the Cubs. And I think it's been a big aspect of the team's success. He was asked about why he's so confident in this group by Bruce Levine. And the quote came out saying, just the experience, to be honest, Ross said about his veteran-laden team. If there is a group that has already been together and come together in a short period of time, these guys have gone through a gamut, whether it's winning, living up to expectations, not living up to the expectations, and falling short. Every one of these narratives surrounds a lot of the guys that are in that room. I don't think anything will be thrown at them that will detour from their mindset we have. There are a lot of factors that convince me of that. In an empty ballpark, having a manager like David Ross is incredibly important. There was a great article that came out today from The Athletic from Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney talking about how Ross is essentially going to try and energize the Cubs and try and replace the 40,000 fans that were at Wrigley Field. Because home field advantage, especially for the Cubs, it really does exist at Wrigley Field. It's a different environment, and especially when you get in that ballpark, you see all those fans, especially in like a matchup against the Cardinals or like opening day, it's hard not to get excited to play for these guys. So I think David Ross is exactly what the Cubs need. And that's exactly what Sahadev and Patrick talk about in this article today, just kind of pointing out the reasons why Ross and this staff are really working hard and feeling comfortable with these guys. So I hope it translates to success on the field, but at least, you know, even if this season doesn't go quite the way the Cubs are expecting, I think the future is still pretty bright with a guy like David Ross. So I'm glad they have him a part of this team. But he's right. This team has gone through quite a bit and has had to jump through multiple hoops to get where they are now. So adversity isn't something they should be necessarily worried about because they seem to bring it on themselves a little bit. So hopefully they're a little better at it now. Doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or a spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shakeable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with an inflammation-fighting compound like Arkana and vitamin B6 to give you support you need when it matters most. And to make it easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering our listeners 25% off of their next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONMLB for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Remember to get this show every day. You need to subscribe to Locked On Cubs on whatever podcast app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, TuneIn app, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn app, wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review. And then make sure you check out the latest episode of Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB after this episode of Locked On Cubs. And then make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Thanks for tuning into your guys' daily Cubs podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. Go Cubbies. And also keep an eye out. I am officially doing some broadcast with Hot Mike. I don't know if I'm going to be doing it this weekend. I'm still kind of figuring out my move here. But eventually this next coming week, I'd like to try and get one maybe this weekend. So we'll see. Maybe we can target Sunday. But either way, we'll definitely be doing a couple broadcasts next week. As the Cubs have a bunch of later games and kind of go from there. But check out Hot Mic. Great app. I'm not the only one that's doing Cub broadcasts. I know there's a few other guys that are doing it as well that are pretty, you know, well-known around the Cubs Twitterverse here. So check that out. Hot Mic, really cool option. It allows you to link your audio from your TV from the audio on my broadcast. So if you wanted to listen to me commentate during a game, you could replace me with the audio and still get the in-game footage coming from that end. I understand Len Casper's pretty great. I don't want to replace him. Just a different kind of environment. More interactive. I can respond to you guys as things are going on. So it's a really cool option. So check that out. I'm sure plenty of people will be doing Hot Mic today if you want to get an idea of what it's like. I'll be doing some things with that later next week. So with that, you guys enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks for tuning into your Daily Cubs podcast.